You're listening to the Oh Those Toes podcast, the podcast that doesn't kink shame. Unless, of course, your kink is being shamed, in which case, welcome, you dirty slut. Welcome, listeners.
Thank you for that warm welcome. I love it when you call me a slut.
I feel so loved already.
And welcome to you, all of our listeners, subscribers, viewers, and sluts. With you, as always, I'm Top Toes.
And I am Annie. Welcome to the Oh Those Toes podcast. Although today it might be called a little something else, something different. But, you know, maybe it's Sluts Are Us or something, because apparently we're all a bunch of sluts around here today.
Oh, we are all dirty sluts. No, at least we're all kinky people. And
you with know us- what? I gotta say, there is no slut shaming at all in my game.
Oh, absolutely.
But I, you know, I've been married for 15 years, and really, I am only a slut with my husband. So,
yeah, not living up to your slut potential.
I really am not. No, but you know, one day maybe. Well, so with us today is a very special person. Welcome to the show, Molly.
Hello.
Molly is a fellow slut.
Yep, it's true. It's true.
At least from what I hear. Tell us, Molly, why are you on the show today? How come you're here?
You invited me.
Did.
Yes. And you ran over the introduction of, like, the kinky darling of Twitter, Miss Molotov Cocktail.
I was getting to that. You were getting, you know what? You just ruined that whole thing. No. All right. So welcome to the show, Molly.
Thank you so much.
Molly is the kinky darling of Twitter. Now, I'm not a big Twitter person. I just started my Twitter a couple months ago, and I'm barely learning, like, the hang of it. So I'm excited to have you on for so many reasons, that being one of them, because I think that you can teach us a thing or two about Twitter. and maybe, you know, some slutty things.
I think Molly could teach the master class on Twitter. Her Twitter world and our Twitter as Instagram we can get away with world are very, very different. You know, she's not so much, as far as I know, in the constant barrage of pic posting. She's in the being witty and sexy and, well, doing those things you do.
Okay, now you're just blowing smoke up my ass.
Only if you like that. You know, we don't kink shame around here.
No, don't kink shame. Don't kink shame. I love Twitter. Twitter's fun. It's, you know, 99.9% of it is comedy. So if you like good humor, if you like jokes, it's the place to go. I always view Twitter as having, you know, multiple Twitters within itself. Like, there's the whole political Twitter where people do nothing but talk about politics till they're blue in the face. There's porn Twitter, which I identify with very closely as a proud slut. There's comedy Twitter, where it's literally, there's some geniuses on there that craft amazing jokes. There's poetry Twitter, where people, like, literally use Twitter, you know, to put their writing out there. There's photography Twitter. There's, if you take the deep dive down the rabbit hole, there's a lot more good than bad. It's fun. It's fun for me.
I think I must be on the wrong. I must be on the wrong Twitter.
You're on the wrong.
Yeah, Twitter. We're sitting somewhere at the photography / porn Twitter, and not but really.
No, I'm like fucking dead ass. I'm like dead ass, fucking smack in the middle of the porn.
Oh, like, lucky you.
I cannot open my Twitter, like, in public without there being some, like, giant fucking dick being shoved in some type of hole. And sometimes that's okay, but a lot of the times, like, I'm not really, like, looking for that. A lot of the times I'm looking for exactly that, like, some witty humor, and I must not be in the right one. So, I think I'm going to have to work on that.
Yeah. You got to take the deep dive, like, you know... Late at night is usually the best time to deep dive Twitter. The wittiest folks tend to come out, like, I don't know, after like 11 p.m. And you'll find some great shit there. There's some great, great humor.
So it's my understanding that you have quite a fan base because you are extremely witty and funny and sexy and very kinky.
Oh, good Lord. You can't see me blush, but can you hear me blush?
I feel like I can hear you blushing, yes.
You can hear me blush.
Ah, she really is a darling. Ah.
Guys, I'm not that cool. Really, I'm not that cool. I'm the girl that walks into walls when she sees cute bearded men. So I'm not that cool.
Well, your fan base seems to feel otherwise.
Oh, geez.
And I know your fan base kind of looks, maybe not looks to you, but responds to and respects your kink and your support of the kink community. And we started this episode with a reference to last week's episode, which you probably haven't heard, where we were talking about, somehow we made our Christmas episode about kink shaming, and we're just going to continue. But we were talking about how Shawn Mendes and Travis Barker both got completely shamed for, one, for an innocuous toe-kissing pic that probably wasn't really fetishy, and in Travis Barker's case, for, you know, just throwing his foot fetish out there on his Instagram.
Yeah, a lot of shame. Like, a lot of, like, people saying, like, I'm burning your records now, and I'm, like, you know, unfollowing, and it was just nuts. It was crazy.
And yeah, okay, first and foremost, in case he's listening, I fucking love Shawn Mendes. Just putting that out there.
He might be listening, and I think he's newly single, so.
He's way too young for me. I could be his mother.
Also true.
But
well, I mean, that could be
is he adorable. It's funny that you guys bring that up because, again, deep diving into the Twitter world, there is, you know, there's a great community of really supportive kinksters who are just, they just put their shit out there. And I align most closely with them in terms of my real life and my online life. And then there's this whole other group of, I would just call them uninformed. Because I don't want to use the term vanilla. It's not particularly nice, but I would say uninformed. So they kind of one fell swoop their judgment and think, oh God, feet. Oh God, you know, chains. Oh God, whips. It's, you know, they've not experienced it, or they have a very unrealistic view of it. They have a fucking 50 Shades of Grey view of BDSM in general. And what I try to do when I'm talking about kinks and weird things out there is just couch it in comedy and take the veil off of it. Be honest about it. Seems to make people feel a little less apprehensive. And
I think also, you know, it's a lot of sort of normal, quote unquote, people, normal people with kinky desires and fetishes and sex life in general. And a lot of times people think, like, when I tell people kind of what I'm into a little bit, they're in shock. Like, I'm supposed to be this, like, green-eyed monster. And that's the only way that somebody can, like, to, you know, whip another person or, you know, step on someone's face or balls or whatever. And I'm like, no, man, I'm like president of the PTA. What the fuck you mean? Like,
exactly. I mean, kinksters have lives, they have families, they have careers, they have some of them are in, you know, enforcing the law, some are making the law, some are saving lives in hospital rooms. We're normal people. We're people. But to the uninformed, I think more often than not, we become objects of ridicule because there's just a disconnect. There's a lack of voice, I think, which is, you know, why your podcast is so great, because you're putting a positive voice out there, normalizing what should have already been normal, you know?
Right. Yeah. And that was just a foot picture. Can you imagine if those guys actually came out and said, "Yeah, man, I like love fucking feet," or "I love, you know, whatever."
Or love getting my balls stomped on, or something even more extreme.
I would. If I put some of the pictures that are in my phone onto my live Twitter feed, which I have, in all fairness, I put some of my shibari on there. I did once. I think I put a while ago the picture of me and my nipple clamps, like bare-breasted nipple clamps, because I was proud of that freaking picture.
And Twitter's the wild, wild west. You don't get your account shut down for some nudity.
And yeah, and I was surprised at the amount of negative feedback that I got. Again, from the
you got negative feedback.
Oh yeah, sure. I got negative feedback, and then I got a whole host of we call them unsolicited DMs, direct messages, right? And it's always that guy. It's always that gross guy that's on there trolling for you know, for sex and trying to get nudes and this, that, the other. And there was a lot of shaming that I endured, but I didn't care, because I'm like, nope, this is my journal, right? This is my page. You can choose to unfollow me or continue to follow me, but you don't get to shit in my backyard because I'm trying to say, hey, look, this is something that real people do. Real people, professional people, good people tie each other up. We do. We, you know, we tie each other up, and we enjoy odd things, weird things, things that seem like they walk on the outer edge, but are actually quite normal. Like, if you're talking about foot fetish, I mean, I think about people when they have like babies. One of the first things that moms and dads do with babies is put the foot in their mouth, right?
Yeah.
It's adorable, and it's innocent, and it's innocuous. And the same is true for, you know, men or women who are into feet. It's innocuous. It's harmless.
So on that note, going in that direction, I know you're a kinky human, but yes. How much have you delved into foot fetishy things? You know, since we are a foot fetish podcast.
A fair sum. It was new to me up until, you know, maybe about 10 or 12 years ago. Up until that point, I hadn't really come across any partner, man or woman, that was interested in paying any attention to my feet until, you know, I met a guy that was just his thing. And at first, I had that initial strange reaction, like, what the hell is sexy about my feet? Nothing, right? But that was my perspective. I wasn't looking at my feet the way he was. I couldn't see what he saw. And yeah, it kind of cracked open a new egg for me. And once you venture there, I felt a little bit more comfortable to venture into other things. My feet just being the tip of the iceberg. And I do enjoy high heels and hosiery, by the way, a lot.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I have heard of women that don't, but I'm like, how do you not love a beautiful high heel? I'm not saying you have to wear them every day. Let's be realistic. We don't want to ruin our feet. But how do you not enjoy a sexy heel? Even the people that are, you know, want to call themselves or, you know, want to stay, you know, quote, I know you didn't want to use the term vanilla, but even the people that want to be normal and vanilla, it's still like stockings and high heels are still, you know, the epitome of sexy to them. So
yes, there is an elegance to them. Now, great, you know, for me, most part of my life, I lived as a tomboy. Like, I didn't, you know, give me boots and sneakers all day, every day. But again, once you crack certain eggs open and you realize, oh my God, I'm a woman. And there's a whole other world that I've yet to experience. Think, you know, you start to learn to love those things. And high heels look fantastic when they're hooked over a shoulder.
So was foot fetishy kind of play, foot play Mm-hmm. Was that one of the first fetishes that you've kind of delved into, or were you already?
For some reason, the thought was that her gateway drug just popped in.
Yes.
Yeah. I would say pantyhose, stockings, that was my gateway drug. Because I had never seen, up into that point, I had never seen a man react that way. And it was an amazing surprise. Like, okay, you know, to be frank, I'm jerking you off with my feet. And you're, you know, he was, for all, you know, not to mince words, he was unstoppable at that point. And you see that ferocity and you're like, oh, I didn't know I could do that.
Right. Like, I did that with my feet.
I did that. Exactly. You start to see yourself the way he's seeing you. And it just, it opens up a new perspective on, well, if I could do that with my feet, what else can I do? You know, what else am I capable of? How far can I push myself?
And personally, like for you, do you enjoy any kind of foot play? Like,
I do when it involves
feeling.
Yeah, I do. When, I mean, there's nothing beats a wonderful foot massage. Let's just, you know, put, I think everyone could probably agree on that. But
all of our guests say that, right, Top? Our female guests?
I can't think of one who's ever denied it. No. Then again, we're not, when we find the woman who doesn't enjoy a foot rub, they're not likely to be our guest. So,
my feet are extremely ticklish, I'm going to be honest. But that's also, I think, part of the fun for me. And again, it's because of the innocence factor of it. Because like, what's better than laughter, right? But there's an intimacy to it. It's a very compassionate act. But in terms of pairing feet with something rather unusual, yeah, I do have a very particular kink. And it just so happens that feet work best, high heels work best with this particular paraphilia, which is balloon fetishism. Don't know if you guys have ever talked about that.
We've not yet had an opportunity to get a lunar on the show. So this is...
Ta-da! No, I mean, like, we've talked about, like, we've mentioned it in passing. Like, you know, like, I had a photo shoot where I used kind of balloons as props. And we've mentioned how, you know, we got a bunch of, like, messages and shit like that from different people.
Yeah, the lunars came out of the woodwork. We don't even know how they found you, but...
Yeah.
I guess you put hashtag balloon on something.
I don't, maybe I did. I don't even like if I did, it wasn't even like that wasn't the intention, but God, there's definitely a community out there for that. I'm guessing. I mean, I don't know. I'm not, you know.
It's a very large community. It's a lot bigger than you think it is, but I think it's just, it's one of those things. It's kind of a tactility fetish. It sort of skirts the outer edge. But it has a lot in common with foot fetish. It has a lot in common with foot fetish. And yeah, there's just something like, I can't really explain what the fascination is. I just know for me, in very simple terms, the sight of a balloon, the latex, the squeak, the sound, everything, it sort of transports me. It's a transportive experience where you know, you think about happy, fun things in childhood, right? Like who didn't get excited to see a shitload of balloons when they were a kid? Because it meant something. It meant a party or something fun. I guess balloons are like the universal symbol for happiness, kind of, right?
Right. I mean, unless you're watching
it, you know. But in balloon fetishism, generally speaking, those of us who I would consider real true lunars, we use rather large balloons in our play. The only word you could use to describe it is gargantuan, because these balloons can hold the weight of two people. You can literally just straddle them, sit on them. And sitting on them is 99.9% of the fun. So when, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, so is the goal, I have so many questions. And
ask away. It's probably easier if you just ask and I answer.
It's a ton of questions and they're going to kind of go all over the place. So I'm good. I'm trying not to like derail you from your thought.
Well, I think we need to take a break, let you compile those questions and come back in 60 seconds or less. And we're back. And well, Annie was saying, you were saying you had some questions, and apparently our audience already has some questions.
I'm a very curious person, and Tap Toes calls me fetish ADHD.
Yeah, you're fetish ADHD. You know, you pick up a fetish and you just like run down the rabbit hole. And I didn't give you the tip on the balloon fetish until we were practically on the air. So I didn't let you run down your balloon fetish rabbit hole in advance of this guest.
Well, I know. So I feel a little bit like, you know, like I haven't done my homework, like I caught with my pants down. But also what that does is it makes me ask a ton of questions, but some of them I think might be very amateurish and almost ignorant because I don't know much about the fetish.
But then again, neither does our audience necessarily, because we're primarily a foot fetish podcast, but we love bringing other kinks to the table. So,
well, we do. And I think, you know, I think what interests me a lot about it is how it, you know, Molly mentioned that it ties so closely, you know, it crosses over with the foot fetish. So, I mean, I like all things feet. So, I mean, like, what are we doing with these? And so I put out, you know, right before we started, and like, sometimes our audience really responds, and other times, you know, like last episode, we got nothing, right? But I put out the question. I said, you know, balloon fetish, anyone? Like, let's ask questions. Let's discuss, share, you know. And the very first thing that someone says is, I don't know what that is. And so I respond with the most basic shit, which is the fetish for balloons. People are aroused by them. And he said, I don't shame people, but how can anyone be aroused by them? And this strikes me as really odd, because this is from a foot fetishist who gets asked regularly, how could you be aroused by feet?
Mm-hmm.
So it concerns me that even with fetishy people, there can still be some semblance of kink shaming just because they don't understand something.
And I think you just hit the nail on the head. It's not necessarily shaming. You're dealing with someone who's uninformed. That's really all it is. And your kink is not my kink, and vice versa, right? Until we actually sit down across from the table from each other, drink a cup of coffee together and hash it out. That's what these conversations, I guess, are for. And how can somebody be aroused by balloons? Yeah, it's not maybe the most upfront and in your face fetish, but have you ever seen a really beautiful, voluptuous woman bouncing on a bed?
Right. They call them balloons.
Okay. Well, just try to put the image of your head in your head of a beautiful, voluptuous woman in lingerie and high heels bouncing on a bed. We can all relate to that, and we probably all find that attractive in one way, shape, or form. We'll find something in that imagery to latch onto. Take the bed out of the picture now and put a balloon under her. And you start to get a sense of what those of us who are into latex, who are into balloons, and more importantly, who are into bouncing on things, sort of feel like. It's odd. And no, it's not for everybody. but there is a marvelous innocence and playfulness and fun to it.
Somewhere like along the lines of like how our tickle fetishists feel.
There you go. That's a really good, that's a really, really good, excuse me, way to relate to it. The playfulness, the fun. I think sometimes when you're talking about kink, we get so serious about being kink perfect, we forget to be fun. We forget to have fun with it.
And, yeah, and I think we have so many, there's so much assumption of the dom sub roles in the foot fetish world that, you know, it's like the dom has to be like the perfect uber dom and, you know, everybody's a slug under her feet kind of thing. And it's like, a lot of us who are not into that, but that's kind of what people assume.
Yeah. And like right. If you're talking in terms of dynamics, when you're talking about domination and submission, you know, you can have a dominant that is extremely playful and fun.
Right. So, and I get that a lot. And I try to tell people that a lot, and I'm not too experienced in it, but a dom doesn't have to be mean.
No,
you know, it doesn't, you don't have to be beating and, you know, it doesn't have to work that way. Like, so I say, if anything, like I call myself like a sweet dom because I'm sweet and caring and kind, you know, to my subs. Now if they step out of line, yes, you know, they, you know, some behavior.
Wish I had your discipline because to my, you know, to anyone that would sub for me, to any male that would sub for me, the first thing I want to do is cage their cock. But that's different. And that's not necessarily mean. That just goes into orgasm control. But, you know, I'm with
sweet
you.
Sweet torture.
It's sweet torture. But there's the opposite effect. Yeah, you can be dominant and have a shitload of fun. And I think lunars... And yeah, okay, maybe I'm speaking because I'm one of them. I think we have the most fun, honestly. Again, because of that innocent playfulness. And a lot of the thrill of balloon fetishism is the threat of the pop. It's the threat of the pop. It's sitting on a gigantic balloon, right? Weighing whatever you weigh, you know, and putting your full weight on this gigantic inflatable, and at any time that sucker may pop and you may go flying down, and that tension, that apprehension, the fear of the pop, it kicks your adrenaline to another level. And if you add a pair of high heels into that and you stick the heel, like the first time I stuck my high heel into a latex balloon, right, with my foot, I was terrified because I'm like, this fucker's gonna pop, but it didn't. It didn't. But seeing the heel go into the latex, it's like a, how do I describe it? It's like seeing intercourse from a different perspective. And I couldn't help but be like, oh my God, because either this thing is gonna pop on me or I'm gonna have a braingasm. And as it happened, I had a braingasm because it was just so delightful and terrifying all at the same time.
Isn't everything in awesome sex basically just a buildup of tension until a final point of explosion?
Yeah.
With the balloon, maybe more literally.
Yes. And I think that's a big part of it. It gives an actual visual, a tactile, something you can, you can't touch an orgasm, guys, right? You can't touch it.
I mean, if it says Bladow in your face, maybe. But
I am not talking about cum. I mean, you're right. You're not wrong. But you can't touch an orgasm for the most part. It's a feeling. It's an eruption. But I think an exploding balloon, I can't, honestly, for me, I can't think of a better visual. Maybe a Molotov cocktail exploding. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
So somebody asked, do you pop them with your butt?
Yes, I do.
And the same person asks, if you pop them, do they make you come?
Sometimes. I actually get more of a high arousal point where, you know, where you're sort of edging mm-hmm. and you know, I get more of a high arousal pointing if I pair it with piquerism, like using implements to pop the balloon, safety pins, needles, fine sewing needles are my favorite.
We're going to have to back you up. Normally I am the fetish glossary, but you lost me on piquerism. So, give us the Oxford English for Dummies on that one.
It's an out there fetish. It's the arousal by pricking something with a sharp object. It's called piquerism.
Oh, piquerism. Okay.
I think it's piquerism. Is how you spell it? And it's just from the French. Meaning to prick, and you literally would take a pin and prick the skin, right? It's arousing to cause pain that way for some people. For me, so, I practice piquerism on my balloons, not on people.
Not on people.
And how does your balloon feel about that?
It doesn't care. It's an inanimate object. It's a paraphilia. It has no feelings.
It's, or maybe it does.
Now I'm going to feel bad.
You're explaining it because it's a paraphilia. And I mentioned it's a little bit of a joke. But you said because it's a paraphilia. But foot fetish is considered a paraphilia. And trust me, if I took a needle to my partner's foot, there's going to be a response and an opinion.
Let's hope it's a positive response, though.
Well, I mean,
you never know.
You know, it goes back to some sensory play there, because, you know, one of the things that my husband likes to do is he likes to rub a very sharp object, not rub, like sort of press and kind of pull from the top to bottom or from the bottom to the top, like a sharp nail, you know, and he'll go from the bottom of my heel all the way to the top of my toes because he wants to see my reaction. So it's like kind of painful, but not really. And it's kind of tickling, but not really, you know, and he really enjoys like poking the bottom of my feet, even though it's not, you know. So maybe there's something else going on there that we didn't realize.
Something in between piquerism and bastinado, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. So I quick story. I wanted a balloon arch kind of a thing for my kids' graduation. Mm-hmm. And we all know they're like, you know, super expensive. And the person that does them here in my city was like booked out. So I was like, you know what? Like, I'm pretty creative and I'm pretty talented and I bet we could figure this out. So I bought balloons in all shapes and sizes, you know, and kind of the same shades of like blue and white and silver. It was just beautiful. So we put it together. It must have been like, I don't know, like 30 feet long. It was ridiculous. Like went from one side of the house to the other. And I had these huge balloons. Like I didn't realize how big they were going to blow up to. So at its most full point, the balloon was like, I don't know, like I was hugging a very heavy person. Like I could wrap my entire arms around it. Mm-hmm. And I posted that on my, you know, personal Instagram, my non-fetish Instagram. And I got at the very minimum, 3 messages from people asking me to send them those balloons. And so I sent them the link to the website where I bought them. And then this guy tells me, no, I can't have that. I can't order from, you know, Amazon on my country. I need you to send me that one. And it wasn't until this moment that I think perhaps it was a balloon fetish and he wanted that balloon that I was holding, that I was hugging, that we were playing with.
Yep. Likely so.
I was like, no, it's already used. I can't send it to you. I don't have any more left. And he was like, no, just send me that one. Just send me the pieces. And I was like, this, what? No.
Yeah. In our world, that's worn pantyhose.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
It didn't even occur to me. I'm gonna have to find those messages and post them and see if everybody else feels the same way.
Probably. I mean the thing is, you know, a lot of people who are into this type of play, even though it's again, I can't stress that it's completely innocent. It's fun. It's like diving into the ball pit, right? When you go to Chuck E. Cheese or something, everybody can relate to that kind of fun, but not everybody can relate to making a sexual connection to it because they think it's creepy or strange that, you know, say like a 65-year-old man would get aroused by a woman with a balloon, or on the opposite end, that a woman would get aroused sitting and bouncing on a balloon. Like what the hell is there, right? But our skin, everybody's skin feels things differently. And, you know, what feels good and looks good to me may not feel good and look good to you. But most people who are lunars, that's the loving nickname for them in the fetish community, they're not very vocal about it. They keep it kind of quiet because it is one of those things that gets very easily judged and very easily misunderstood, even though it's innocent.
Right.
So that guy was probably like, well, hey, you know, rather than embarrass myself, right, and order a shitload of balloons off Amazon or something like that and have my wife wonder, you know, this, that, the other thing, or I don't know, maybe the image of you holding it was what did it for him, and he just wanted what you
wanted, that balloon.
It made a connection for him. It set off something in the head, you know.
Oh, see, I wish I would have known. I would have mailed it to him that then.
You know? Well, now you know. And see, now you know, and you're gonna look for it the next time.
So you must deal with the same, if not more, of amount of kink shaming than we as foot fetishists get.
Well,
I mean, usually it's the men getting kink shame. Like, we women, we just tell them it's for money, and everybody's like, "Oh, okay, well, it's not so bad."
They don't. Yeah, like, most women don't admit. Sex worker shame, though.
Yeah. Instead. Yeah, exactly. If you say it's for, you know, your OnlyFans or something like that, the next thing you know, you're an extortionist. Which I don't believe in pay to play to begin with. So, like, I just put my shit out there. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, I don't care. I don't need your money. but in terms of shaming, to my knowledge, there's only like one person on, you know, that I occasionally speak with on Twitter that is aware of that particular fetish that I have. It's something I've not put out to the masses. I'm not ashamed of it.
You just it's did.
I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it. And, you know, if I'm going to be judged because I have a playful nature, well, that's, I guess that would be their loss. You know,
that sounds like a them problem, really.
Right. And, you know, that's not the only fetish I have. I have a zillion fetishes.
Well, let's talk about those.
Let's talk about beards then. Let's talk about beards.
Oh, okay. I you've got to tell me about this because I don't like beards. So
what?
Yeah, my husband has an absolutely gorgeous beard. It's thick, it's full, it's both soft and kind of scruffy at the same time. It's very well kept. There's no reason why I shouldn't like it. I just don't.
Funny thing is, just today, I ran into somebody in our circles, like you, we'll call it the receiving side of foot fetishism. You know, they legitimately had the fetish for having attention to their feet. And one of their huge turn-ons was a beard against their souls.
See, I don't mind it so much on the, because I feel it when he's, you know, kissing and licking my feet. Like when he's, I feel it there and it kind of tickles and I don't mind it so much
lucky
there.
Lucky girl.
I just don't like it like on my face. I don't like
it. Oh, and see, that's that. Yeah. For me, I mean, okay. I have a thing. I don't know if it's a fetish so much as it's just an attractiveness factor. Men who I don't like when men shave, period. And I'm talking about the entirety of their body. I have never liked it when men shave their chest, when they shave their pubic hair, and if they shave their beard, they got to get the fuck out. Body hair is a huge turn on for me. It's massive. I don't know what it is. I honestly...
Is it a sign of virility, maybe? I don't, you know.
I think it's some, honestly, I think it's just I've got some caveman DNA that is predominant in my being. And
if you want to hook up with Molly Cocktail, just bring your club and...
And a beard. And be hairy. And
bring a club. And a balloon. Please bring a balloon.
Balloon in one hand, caveman club in the other.
Oh, and coffee.
I love it.
And coffee, please. If there isn't coffee, I'm not interested, even if you do tick all the other boxes. No, I don't know what it is. I think it's because, again, it's that caveman thing that I have, that weird thing where I'm like, I still want the alpha male, the hairy, dirt under their nails, you know, alpha male. And yeah, I don't want him pretty. He can be handsome as all fuck. He can be gorgeous, but I want that gruffiness as well. And I think that's just the odd woman in me, the odd cave woman.
I don't think that's odd at all. I mean, I'm pretty switchy, but, at the end of the day, that's why I'm married to the man I'm married to, right? I mean, that you just described him. Like, the only difference is that my husband is actually very pretty. And I don't know how you can be that tough looking and still be very pretty. Although I will disappoint you, Molly, he does shave most of his body hair.
Oh,
he competes nationally, so he does kind of have to shave his like chest and legs and stuff.
So what you're saying is I have no chance.
One of our past previous guests was really into hair too. Like, she wanted to feel it, she wanted to grab it with her toes, like she just, you know. And I just I'm not huge on that. So I'm really curious, because I think if anybody should like beard hair, it should be me. Because my husband has a great beard and I want to like it so much, but I just don't. I just can't. So does the beard actually provide, like, does it, do you get a reaction out of it? Like a physiological reaction?
I do. Okay. As a matter of fact, with one of my partners, and this is just a really quick side quip. The way, you know, the way we met, we happened to be at a kink club at the time, and I didn't notice what he looked like at all. Like, I was completely blind to his personhood by this massive glorious beard. It was the one and only thing in my line of sight. And I seriously, if you ask me what color eyes he had, how tall he was, none of those things registered. I just saw this massive beard, and I just went up to him and I said, "I have to touch it." And he, you know, I just remember him saying, the only thing I remember him saying was, "Touch what?" Like, you know, in a really forceful kind of mean way. And I just touched his beard, and he closed his eyes. He like closed his eyes, because I was just like running my fingers through his beard. And as it happened, he was like, "Yeah, this is a fetish for both of us, because I like, you know, my beard being stroked. I like it being groomed by a woman." And ta-da. love. It was like insta love, right? No, it was like, it was instant connection. And yeah, sometimes that's all. I mean, I'm a really simple girl, guys. Just give me hot coffee, some really good books, some fine writing instruments, and a massive beard, and I'm happy. I'm happy.
I hate to tell you this, but you're not a simple girl.
I'm not. I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but I'm gonna.
It is. I don't think there's anything simple about you at all. Otherwise, you wouldn't be, you know, this interesting. You'd be on this show. You wouldn't, you know. Yeah, no, I think there's a lot more. There's a lot more to that. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want Molly to share some more of her fetishes with us.
Oh, for God's sake.
And welcome back, and welcome to the lightning round. This is where we'll ask a whole bunch of questions and Molly will have to answer them in 25 seconds or less.
That's not true. Some of these require a few more, you know, a few 25 more seconds or less. I mean, like, this is a really good one. Like, what advice would you give on coming out or dealing with lashback? I think he meant backlash.
And he's speaking in terms of balloon fetishism or just fetishism in general.
No, I put the question out there about balloon fetish. So yeah, this was in response to that. Yeah.
I mean, that's a really great question, and I think the best and only advice that I can give on that is, when the time is right, you'll know it. There really isn't anything to be, it's important to remember, there isn't anything to be ashamed of. Is it unusual? Sure. But I mean, lots of things in life are fucking unusual. And, you know, lots of things in life are unusual. And it's, we carry enough trauma. We all carry enough trauma on our backs. And, you know, the things that make us happy, we should not include those, you know, in that backpack of trauma that we carry. The things that make us happy should be the things that we put forward to the world, even if they're odd. And, you know, the more that the odd ones, like me, like you, like Top, put the word out there, it makes it safer for everyone else to just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to let my freak flag fly and I'm going to pursue happiness. And there's, you know, you're not abnormal because you like different things. There's nothing wrong with it. There's not a thing. And he'll know when he knows.
You're right. I think I'm like, with anything, I think if you feel like you have to share or you want to share, then you should. But we should always know that it is going to be perceived as slightly odd. And you just have to accept that. I think if we as individuals can accept that, you know, and understand and say, yes, it's going to be odd and people are going to find this odd, I think it's easier for us to deal with any, you know, repercussions or any attitudes or any negativity that we get from it. But I think
we had a guest probably about a year back more than a year back. I think it was a season one guest who expressed, they love being involved in the foot fetish community and their fetish and their place in it because it's not what everybody's doing. They embrace the uniqueness. And I thought that was a really interesting perspective and interesting enough that it popped back in my head in this moment. I can't remember who to attribute it to, though.
Yeah, and it's like, everybody loves an underdog, right? And it's okay. Like, just because the world sees the thing, or even that you see the thing that you like as odd, doesn't mean that you're odd. The you know, they're
right.
You still go to work, you still raise your children, you still pay your taxes and keep your light and your heat on. You're still a normal human being. And I hate that word normal. It's such a it's such an overused and in some cases abusive word. And I think what makes it abusive is that, you know, there's an uninformed percentage of the population that tries to push all of these thoughts and feelings that we have back into the dark. And I'm not interested in that. I want it in the light, you know, bring it out into the light. Normalize, you know, normalize odd.
And I think too, one of the things that could help, you know, with anybody that's feeling really insecure about their fetish, any fetish, not just foot or balloon or whatever, is surround yourself with people, with a community. Surround yourself with people that are accepting of these things. So if you're, you know, going to that old lady up the street and telling her that you want to fuck a balloon, like, that's not going to be very helpful to you. But, you know, like you said, it's a big community. I find like-minded people, and then you won't feel like such an oddball, and it won't be such a big deal to share and say
exactly,
you know, what your and likes and preferences are.
Exactly. And just remind yourself, there is nothing new under the sun. If it can be done, it has been done.
Right.
But you may not have met somebody like you yet. And yet should be the key word in everyone's vocabulary. And by putting, by, you know, just being a little brave, you don't have to skyward, you know, ride it across the sky, but a little bravery, you know, joining an online community or you know, just putting a message out there. Mm-hmm. That little tiny bit of bravery inspires more bravery, and then more people start to talk, and then it becomes a conversation, and then the veil drops and it's not so odd anymore.
How do you keep them from popping?
Well,
or is the point for them to pop? I mean,
that it's, I was just going to say that is really a two-part question, because on the one hand, yeah, you don't want them to pop. On the other hand, if you're handling a balloon and you're sitting in front of a guy that has a balloon fetish, oh yeah, you want to pop them. You want to threaten to pop them, because for, you know, for your partner in that particular scenario, the threat of the pop is what turns them on. It's what gets them off. It's what, it's the foot job, so to speak. you know, it's, you, yeah. Okay. Like, how do you keep them from popping? You can't. It's not possible. Like, okay, I've done plenty of balloon play where nothing's popped, because I was, you know, using balloons that, again, they are so large, they can hold up to 300 pounds. They can hold the weight of two healthy adult people with no issue. We're talking massive. And they're not going anywhere. You can bounce on those and, you know, pinprick them all you want. These things are built for bouncing. They're built for sexual encounters to occur on them. But I've also had,
they're like, still like are they still the same kind of material, like latex?
They are. They're just a massive, massive, there's a massive thickness in them. I should actually send you a picture of them so that, you know, you can see what I, what I'm working with. When I say yeah, it's massive, it's, you know, I have a king size bed, and this fucker doesn't fit on it. We'll put it down.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And
oh my gosh. Okay.
You know, people are into all shapes, all sort of shapes and sizes. That's just my thing. I like the ones that you can literally ride. But if I'm with a partner and we're doing balloon play, 9 times out of 10, they like the torture of the threat of the pop. And if I bring a pin to the latex, and watch it, the most thrilling thing is watching the color run out of their face. It's, and all the blood runs south, and it's amazing. It's amazing. Very much. I think very much like slipping off a beautiful high heel. Right.
So speaking of shapes and sizes, do you have a favorite color?
I do. I am most fond of like an aqua blue, like teal. This makes me think of the ocean. And when it explodes, it really does look very pretty. The teals have like a metallic tinge to them, so you get a little sparkle when they blow. But they're really fun. But that's like, but we haven't even gotten into balloons that are filled with confetti. Those are the most fun. They're bits to clean up, but those are the most fun.
Well, tell me about that. Like, what are you... is it just the fact that there's something falling on? Like, what is it? Like, explain that. Like,
how do I? Okay. I mean, you've popped a bottle of champagne in your life, right?
Yeah.
You ever have the champagne just go like up and over everything?
Yes, that's not my favorite. Well, maybe it's just the cleanup that I don't like. Yes. I was thinking more along the lines of like foam, like the foam parties, you know, where they like hold the hose and like spray everything down and you're all like dripping in that kind of foam. Like, I don't know.
That's a whole other, that's a whole other fetish for a whole other episode. But I like that. No, I'm thinking like, you know, everybody, I think everybody at least once in their life has popped a bottle of champagne and they've had that sort of bubble fountain come out. And our first reaction, all of us, every single one of us, after we say, oh shit, is we laugh. We laugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's as normal as breathing. You laugh because it's like, it's going everywhere. And, you know, when there's a balloon or filled with confetti and it pops, oh shit. And it's going everywhere and it's going all over you. And there's a rock star feel to it that I can't explain. Maybe the same way that if we think like what we got New Year's Eve coming up, you know, there's a reason they pop off confetti and streamers and all that good stuff when the ball drops, because it's fun.
Or the balloon drop where they put them
on. Or the balloon drop. Yes. Yeah. Oh, to be in a room of that. Yeah. So
somebody shared them. Somebody shared a little story. He says, I session with a model whose tip depends on how many times she can bear weight on the balloon without popping. If it pops, she has to stroke me with her feet for 1 minute.
That's hot.
This is a very well negotiated session. And oh right my on. God. Yeah, negotiate your sessions well, but that's a... this guy's got some very specific interests.
That is a fantastic task. I love it. It's so playful. It's so playful.
Right. Like Top Toes, you're going to have to try this and like, let me know how that turns out. Because I mean, that's like, I mean, I guess tipping aside and paying aside. Right. But yeah, I guess he pays her for like her time, like whatever time. Mm-hmm. And then he tips her based on, you know, if she can put all her weight on the balloons and not pop it. And then if she does, she pays a price. I love it.
Oh my God. That's so brilliant that I may have to just jot that down and put it in my arsenal, because that's just so much fun. It's so much fun. And again, yeah, it's a sex act, but there's an innocence to it. There's a massive amount of joy in it and laughter. I bet they laugh so heartily together. And isn't that the best part of all of it? Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like there's a loser in this scenario either.
No, there isn't.
There's no like actual punishment. I mean, you know, yeah, I love it. I like that. Someone says, balloons and feet? Explain. I guess I kind of made it seem like, you know, because I posted a picture of me with balloons and I was like, balloon fetish, anyone? But I didn't say I had a balloon fetish. I just was, you know, bringing up the subject. So I would imagine that a balloon feels nice on your feet. That's maybe not top toes. Top toes doesn't like to, you know, his feet touched, but those of us that do, I imagine that the softness and the kind of latexy feel of a balloon feels nice.
Yeah, and the squeak. I mean, some people are, you know, repulsed by the squeak, but I find it delightful. I think to really get into the fetish, you know, one of the first things that I did in terms of play that sort of clicked the light on in my brain. I took a big balloon, you know, nothing special. It was like something from, I think it was like from Party City or Walmart or something, you know, and I squeezed it between my bare thighs. Like a thigh master.
Okay. So someone says, yes, I dream of thick thighs popping balloons until I come.
He's a man after my own heart. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I bet, like, yeah, putting for me, I actually have pictures of this, me putting, you know, that was like one of my first self play things that I did, was just to take, you know, this balloon, put it between my thighs and see how far could I close my thighs before the fucker popped. And, you know, it was the strangest sensation in terms of, like, at that time, not really understanding how much I was edging from that. And it was all that tension. It was all that terror of the pop.
So if it pops, though, when you're like have it in between your legs, isn't it painful?
No, it's orgasmic, literally, for me. It's orgasmic.
There is sort of that snap rubber band feeling to it.
Right, like a sting, like a sting.
But you're talking to, but I also love impact play. I like a fair amount of pain in my kink. Okay. It doesn't bother me. To me it feels, you know, no different than, like, you know, I don't know, snapping a rubber band on your wrist, I think is the best thing I can liken it to. It's the noise that, but when you hear that pop, that massive pop, and it's so close to you, it's, for me, it's orgasmic. It's strange, but it's orgasmic.
Speaking of impact play, like, we didn't even get into your other kinks.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So you kind of open the door a little bit on a couple things. As quickly as you can run through them, what else? As we've referred to it on the show, what else is in your toy box, your kink bag?
My kink belt. Yeah. Orgasm control is a big one.
A top or a bottom or
both? I've discovered recently that I have a little bit of power as a switch, and that's something I'd not really explored much of until recently, and I'm feeling very comfortable with both denying myself and forcibly denying others. It's fun. So, you know, impact play, a lot of fun. And in terms of impact play, it's, you know, my favorite implements are paddles, crops. Shibari is an amazing, beautiful art. That's one I love. What else? Predicament play.
Oh, what is predicament play?
I think it's different things to different people. For me, it's usually finding myself by means of a task that's given to me in a situation that it is quite literally a predicament. A very good example was, I was given a task where I had to drive naked. And, you know, with nothing, no clothing on whatsoever, right? And it was the most horrifying experience and the most exhilarating experience that I've had in a long time. Because, you know, they didn't specify how far I could go. And me being me, and sometimes just wanting to push myself over the edge, I chose to drive like 25 miles and had, like, you know, I have long hair, and there's nothing to cover me but my hair, and it's the winter here, and what a fucking asshole I am. But at the same time, it was an amazing. It was an
what
amazing
happens experience. When you pull over next to the old lady and she looks over at you and you're like fucking naked in well, your
it,
car.
It was a guy in a truck. Thank you very much. And yeah, it at the time, in the moment, it was humiliating, but there's a lot of power, you know, in getting over that humiliation and realizing, holy shit, I just did that. And yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's fun.
I don't know, I think that, you know, of all the guests that we've had and all the kinks that they've talked about, I think you've just like given me one that I'm not gonna try.
We found the limits of your kink ADD.
Like, I'm not even gonna pretend that I'm ever gonna do that. I mean, it does sound exhilarating, and I can absolutely see the thrill, like, behind it, and like, what if you get pulled over? And what?
Yeah.
I mean, oh my gosh, it's yeah. I'm as tough as I am, and as brave as I am. I don't know that I could.
I think you could. I mean, you could. And I was a chicken shit. I was like, there's no way I can do this. There's no way I can do this. There's no way. Okay, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And the next thing you know, you're at 5 miles, 10 miles. And, you know, it, just like any good play session, any good kink, you have that tension, that build up. Like, I liken it to being on a roller coaster, right? You're terrified of it. You're terrified of it because it's 200 feet off the ground and you are not in control. But man, is it fucking thrilling when you're at the top and you just drop down, right?
Right, yeah.
And you're like, this is something I would never do. Oh my God, I'm doing it. And then you want to go back on it again and again and again. So that is kink for me in a nutshell. It's a roller coaster. It's the best, worst experience ever because, you know, it teaches you to manage terror and to enjoy terror at the same time. And I know that sounds really strange, but it's the best way that I can flesh it out in my mind.
I bet it's therapeutic. Like, people who suffer from anxiety could probably benefit from these kinds of sessions. If it doesn't like completely traumatize them and push them over the edge.
Fine line there.
Okay. And any others? I mean, you've got beards, you've got a little bit of feet and heels and stockings and
rope and paddles and
oh my goodness. You're just amazing.
Well, thanks. It's too bad I'm not getting paid for this. I'm kidding.
Too bad we're not getting paid for this.
Right? No, don't know. Maybe the biggest kink I have of all is probably coffee. If I'm being honest, it's coffee. All of this is brought to you by coffee.
Take coffee and you rub it all over your body. Like, what's going on?
That's my biggest DS relationship. I'm a complete slave to coffee.
As am I. I am owned and collared by caffeine. It's
well.
Oh gosh, I as an avid coffee drinker, and at all hours of the day, all hours of the night. I never ever say no to coffee. I can completely understand that.
Yep. I don't mind. Right. Yeah. I don't mind.
I think we're getting to that point. So, Molly, any parting words, any last minute thought that you didn't get to?
Other than I've had a blast doing this, and I really hope that my family doesn't listen. No, this is just like I think what you guys are doing is fantastic. You know, you're lifting the veil. You're helping to lift the veil, and that's important. It's really important, especially now. You know,
thank you for helping us do that.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's been great. Thank you so much.
So where are our listeners going to find you?
On Twitter. You can come visit me on Twitter.
At
Molly Cocktail.
All right. We'll put that on the show links as well.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Be sure and let her know how much you loved her on this episode on the Yodeless Toast podcast.
On the last episode of the year, the last episode.
I know, I feel honored. This is amazing.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I've completely forgotten. It's the end of the year. Yeah. I'm really grateful that we get to, you know, wrap it up on a really good, positive note. Molly, thank you so much for helping us do that. We really appreciate you coming on.
I had a blast. Thank you guys so much. It was a pleasure.
The pleasure's all been ours. Thank you so much. And thank you as always to all of our listeners. And to those of you who spent the last hour or so masturbating to our voices, you're welcome.
Very welcome.
Oh boy.